Yes, hello and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart in the hosting chair, post York for this week's episode, looking at the action on ITV this Saturday. We've got Goodwood, my local track, or my old local track it would be now, and Sandown this weekend with some good action from both tracks. Joining me on this week's show, we have Johnny Pearson, Harry Wilson from the Racing Post, and from Unibet, as always, we have Mr. Ed Nixon. Ed, a fantastic week at York just gone by. You were obviously there for a day or two. I'm not sure how many days you were there for, but you have plenty of winners on the top five bets for this show. But even though we landed plenty of winners, what a week it was.
Yeah, it's always a great week, isn't it, at York? Really top-class racing. One of my favourite weeks of the year, actually. Great handicaps, really competitive handicaps, and top-quality two-year-old, three-year-old, and all-age contest. So it was interesting as well. There's always a story at York, isn't there? And the big race this year provided that story, I think, with both the big two not winning. I think Graham Rodway may have to rethink his Constitution River greatest of all time quote. But he'll come back. But yeah, really good fun. Really good fun.
Yeah, it just looked like a quality week. I was here in the office, but there was some great action from the Naismire. Johnny Pearson, what did you make of the Judman International quickly? We obviously had Ombudsman and Constitution River made out to be a match race. Turned out that they weren't in the first two. What did you make of it?
I thought the winner was actually pretty good. He's only lost one race. Ombudsman, I don't think, ran to his best. Constitution River was too close to the pace. I think they both ran respectably, but I don't think you want to be knocking the first and second too much. I think they're two very good horses themselves.
Absolutely. And Harry, I was in the office with plenty of races with you. Were there any sort of standout highlights for you across the week? Was there one horse that really, really like caught the eye?
I think if I had to pick one, Sam, it'd probably be Notable Speech. Coming back down to seven, he travelled all over him and just looked different gear. Must admit, the way that Marvel Man moved through that race as well, I'd be looking at him next time, possibly down to six. I think he showed a lot of promise, but Notable Speech has got so many options. Breeders' Cup looks the obvious one, but he just proved what a high-class horse he was.
Yeah, he was. It was a really impressive performance. He was the classy animal in the City of York Stakes. Do let us know down in the comments what your favourite performance was from the York Ebor Festival. And if you're new to this channel, if you've never been here, never seen the podcast, what are you doing? But hit the subscribe button down below. It is free to do so. Plenty of content here on the Racing Post YouTube channel that you can get involved with. Right then, gents, we've got plenty of action, like I say, on the ITV card. There are maiden and novice stakes on the card. Traditionally, we would kind of skip over these or have kind of a quick word. What we're going to do is at the end just see if there are any from those races that the gentlemen are keen to tip in. So the first race we are going to move to is Sandown, and it will be the 2.15, which is a handicap, a class 2 handicap over a mile 2 furlongs. Unibet's market at the moment have the Roger Varian horse Kobayatsu at 5-2. My Lover's King is 4-1. King's Charter 6-1. Crown of Oaks is 7-1. Alcraft is 15-2. 10-1 about Tribal Chief, who, oh my God, he's becoming such a cliff horse for me, and 12-1 and bigger the rest. A fairly short price favourite in a handicap here, Harry Wilson with the Roger Varian favourite. There's a few of those kind of short prices in handicaps this week on the ITV cards. What do we make of this one?
Yeah, he's definitely a progressive horse, the Roger Varian one, and Roger Varian could hardly be in better form. He's been going well the last couple of weeks. But the main worry that I have is dropping back to a mile and a quarter. Both his wins have been over a mile 4, and he's looked strong at the finish. So I'd be looking to take this one on. It's sort of thrown me Charlie Appleby booking Toby Moore, given Buick's at Sandown. But I need to tip King's Charter, I think, just because of the strength of his form. I really liked the look of him when he won a Newmarket handicap last year. He gave weight away and track position to Mahaba Gaiath, who then came second to Best Secret at Glorious Goodwood. He acquitted himself well in Maidan over trips that weren't quite up to standard. Like, he ran over a mile, 1 mile, and a mile. He's probably better over a mile and a quarter, if not further. He bumped into Dividend, who's now £4 higher, and bumped into Archivist, who's won the Golden Mile on the Strensel since. Toby Moore taking off 7 probably isn't a bad thing, and he's actually got a fantastic record for Charlie Appleby. I think he's finishing the top 4 on 13 of his 17 rides for him. So he's probably not a bad booking at all, and yeah, I'll probably take a chance on him, Sam.
Okay, yeah, King's Charter, Toby Moore on for the Charlie Appleby stable with Godolphin horses spread across the cards on Saturday. Johnny Pearson, your selection, please, in the first race for preview.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting race. I can see the case there. I think, and you'll see Sam, you alluded to Tribal Chief, and he's off a nice enough mark if he's on his day. Cash is another one who's clearly been particularly tricky through his career. You know, he's not had much racing. He's now a seven-year-old. He was rated £9 higher in April last year. But he's only had the one run this season. I can see him outrunning his odds, but there's no chance I could be back in the horse or tipping him based on what we've seen. The one for me is, rather boringly, is going to be Cock Bastow for Roger Varian. He's also flying. I'm not too concerned about a drop in trip. He's only had four runs. He's been finding his feet. There's definitely more to come from the horse, I'd say. You've got the John Gosden horse there, well priced up, but his horses aren't in great form, and I couldn't entertain backing one of his at the minute either. You know, his winners in the... He's had, what, six winners in the last 2 weeks, which isn't bad for most stables. Three of those have been odds on. One's 11-8 and one's 3-1. He's had an 11-1 winner at Kempton on Wednesday night, but a lot of his fancied horses, such as Ombudsman and Legacy Link, haven't been running their races. And I'd be, you know, Paul Keely alluded to this in his column, in his email this week, I believe, or in his column. And he's not wrong. You just need to go through some of those runners. And is there something wrong in the John Godson stable at the moment? Maybe. And I'd be a bit concerned about that if I wanted to back one of his.
Okay, yeah, Johnny Pearson's been the favourite, and he's right. Paul Keely was, yeah, in his column, very vocal, but also in the know last week, very vocal with regards to the Godston stable. Ed Nicholson, your opinion on the 2:15 at Sandown, please.
I think Cook Bastow is going to be a really good horse. I think he'll be a pattern class in the future. I was at Kempton when he won his last race easily over the mile and a half trip. He's a lovely looking horse. He looks very good. I mean, they don't always end up being good if they look good, but he looks the part. Everything about him was class at that meeting. I spoke to a few people after the race, and I think they're expecting him to progress. And this is a nice stepping stone. Although it is over 10, he was going easily at 10 in that race. Gone up from 88 to 102. Again, I think that's well within his compass. I think he'll be running in pattern races eventually, so I expect him to win here. And this trainer is in good form. We talk about trainers being out of form. Roger Varian's on a 72% runners to form ratio on the Racing Post, which is huge for a stable that has so many runners. And Ray Dawson's riding well, gets the leg up. I think Kieran Fallon rode him last time. I don't think he'll be in handicaps long, and I think he'll win this race. Okay. Are we going extra place, Sam? Sorry, extra place with Unibet in this race.
I was just about to mention just offers in general, but yeah, extra place here in the 2:15 at Sandown. There will be plenty of offers throughout the week always, but especially on a Saturday with Unibet. Do head to their website and app for all of the terms and conditions along with all the offers. There's the two votes for the favourite, Kobayashi, I think I've said that right, and Harry Wilson with King's Charter in the 2:15. Now moving on to the first group contest we look at, which is the 2:50 at Sandown, a 1 mile contest, and it's the Atalanta Stakes for the fillies and mares, where Moon Target is currently topping the market at 3-1 alongside Secret of Life, who's also 3-1. Contiki 7-2. Calendar Girl is 9-2. So Regal 15-2. And it's a jump to Pacific Mission at 10-1. 14s and bigger about the other four in the race. What's quite interesting around this one, Johnny Pearson, we were actually sat down discussing this race earlier in the week and kind of the entries, is that a lot of the leading market contenders or the leading horses have stood their ground.
Yeah, and it can always make things a little bit trickier when that happens, because you might think a lot of the time you end up with a better price, but it means you've got more horses to beat, and it can be tricky, but I don't think it's that tricky. I think it's actually quite straightforward still. Moon Target has not been winning races, but she's 2 lengths behind Precise at Ascot, 2.25 lengths behind Blue Bolt at Deauville last time. By far the best form in this race, and this looks like a much easier target for her. Group 3 down from Group 1 contest. She should be too good for the rest of them here. She should win it. The fact that she's not been winning is a slight concern, but again, she'd been behind the right horses, and yeah, if she's not good enough to win it, I'd be surprised.
Okay, yeah, Moon Target, so Mark Prescott, Luke Morris, but Johnny's made a fair case with regards to the form there. Harry Wilson, sat between you and Robbie Wilders. I think, when was it, Monday or Tuesday? I think it might have been Monday. And we were talking with regards to one horse in here in particular, which was Callan the Girl, who wasn't just a horse we were looking at for this race, but maybe future targets as well. Is this still the strong fancy for you?
Yeah, I think Callan the Girl will be the best horse in this race. I really like the look of her as a two-year-old. The only race she lost, she was trying to concede 7 pounds to a Group 2 winner, which is fantastic form. What I really like, obviously, there was a lot of talk about Boeco being too small to be a three-year-old, and he proved everyone wrong. Well, this one's the opposite. She's huge, and she was always going to be a better three-year-old. Owen Burrows has been so patient with her. She's come back at Haydock, won the Dick Hearn Stakes so easily, off what should have been a layoff that she's probably expected to benefit from. I think she's a Group 1 winner in waiting, and I expect her to take this. I've also backed her for the Sun Chariot at the back end of the season. I'm a touch worried about Blue Bolt because she does look very special. But yeah, I think this is a proper Group 1 horse, and she'll prove it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see it, and I completely agree with you, to be honest, Mr. Wilson. Ed Nicholson, how did you view this one?
Well, it's a conundrum, isn't it? And it's a typical kind of race that if you don't look deep into form, you like the ones with ones next to them because they're unbeaten. But the likes of Secret of Life, who has won on the course and is unbeaten, hasn't really got the form in the book to beat some of the others in the race. Contiki has to carry a penalty, although has been impressive. Calendar Girl is obviously a horse that has a lot of potential, but still hasn't really put it at the highest level. The one horse that's put it at the highest level is Moon Target, and she's got the form figures, you know, of 7.3843. So she doesn't look like the type of horse that you should be tipping. But when you go into the form, those are Group 1 races. The last three have been Group 1 races, and she's not finished far behind horses that even Harry says could be very, very special. So this is a dropping grade, probably a dropping two grades, actually. And I thought she'd be shorter than 3-1. I think she's a classic bet that she's got the form, but she hasn't got the form figures. And I think 3-1 is a decent bet for Moon Target. And a stable, don't forget, that really excels in August. Sir Mark Prescott always has his horses in August. And he's got, I think, a 72% strike rate at the moment. Sorry, that's not right. He's got a 72% runners to form rate at the moment. And his horses are just winning left, right and centre. So form in the book, stable in form, good price. So I'm going to Moon Target.
Okay, Moon Target for Ed Nicholson. It seems like Johnny Pearson and Ed agreeing with both their selections so far, and I'm agreeing with Harry in the first two races. It seems like we're teaming up here, but let's see if we team up in the next race, which is the other group race on the card at Sandown. It is the Solario Stakes over 7 furlongs, Group 3 for the two-year-olds, where Rock Montreal is the favourite of 13-8. Sonic Angel is 3-1. Breacher is now 100-30. This market has changed briefly because originally Serge Ida Kayev was in here for Aidan O'Brien, now come out, so the market has just switched. Mia Fantasia is 9-1, Alfred Wallace 10-1, Kodiak City 16s, Dover Street 20s, Green Sovereign 25s, and Firehorse 33-1. Harry Wilson, we're going to agree again here. This was again, a talking horse, because if you are a fan or if you are signed up to Robbie Wilder's anti-postman email, you'll see that Robbie was fairly strong on one in this. And that was a horse called Breacher, who William Muir has very heavily talked about in the last few months. Harry Wilson, what do we make of this horse?
Yeah, there's no mistaking that Rob has gone hard on this Breacher. It's 3 points each way, was it?
I think it was, yeah. On him.
I also am a big fan of Breacher. There was a lot to like about how he won at Salisbury in his debut. And the thing is, people like William Muir, they're not like very bullish about horses that aren't good. And the fact that he said that this is the best horse he's ever trained, he outworks EBT's Guard, who is rated 102 and finished fourth in the Hunt Cup a couple of starts ago. You start building a picture like this is a trainer who's won a King George with Par Driver. Let's not forget, he knows a good horse when he sees one. And if he's that confident about this one, then I'm willing to listen to him.
I really do see it. I mean, what's quite nice about the top of the market here is that all three of them, Rock Montreal, Sonic Angel and Breacher, are all unbeaten, all with ones next to their name. Johnny Pearson, do you share the same opinion as Mr. Wilders and Mr. Wilson?
No. I think he's got the potential to be a very good horse, but as I wouldn't be overly confident on him coming into this race. Rock Montreal could be a superstar, but what, there's another who looks far too short a price based on the back of just that one win. They, for me, they need to show more to be justifying where they are in the market here. But then again, you can pick holes in the form of others. Like Sonic Angels won two races, great.
Yep.
Alfred Wallace has arguably got the best form in here, but was a little bit disappointing at York, and I'm actually surprised to see him declared here. I quite fancied him at York, and he finished just outside the places. But I don't think that was a bad run at all, and I don't think all the three at the top of the market are going to finish 1, 2, 3 in whatever order. I don't think all three of them are going to be running to what their seeming potential is. So I think Alfred Wallace each way looks a fantastic bet, because I think there's enough doubts about a few of those that they still need to go and prove themselves. Whereas Alfred Wallace has run well in bigger races already, and he should run well here.
Yeah, there'll be an each way selection for me. Yeah, the top three in the market, I mean, they're all kind of, you know, around the 3-1 market or shorter. And then, you know, you've got to jump to double figures about the rest. It's a fair statement to make. And there could be a little bit of each way value in this with more than 8 runners. You're going to get the 3 places currently with Unibet. So it's definitely worth looking at for sure. Ed Nicholson, how did you view this 2-year-old contest?
For the last few years, indeed on this podcast, we've been talking this race. I'm pretty sure, I haven't checked, but Gosden's won this race a few times, hasn't he? And there doesn't seem to be anyone, you know, any big trainer with a horse in this race. Obviously, Roger Varian's a big trainer insofar he trains so many horses. And Rock Montreal did look good the way he did it at Yarmouth. 2¾-length victory. But the horse that came second, I'm pretty sure, has got stuffed in a nursery off 73. So the form, I mean, just one race, it might be an aberration, but I can't be looking at Rock Montreal at 7-4, given that the horse that finished closest to him got stuffed off 73. Sonic Angel was very impressive last time, winning by over 5 lengths. Both his runs have been on the all weather. Again, the form not up to much. Breacher is the one I'm going to go for, simply because I think I've said this before on the podcast. Sometimes, I mean, I'm a form man, but sometimes you've got to go with what you see with your eyes. And this performance at Salisbury, I watched it twice this morning, and I can't believe he won as far as he did. He's been inexperienced, pushed along with 3 to go. The odds on favourite was not going brilliantly, but looked like he'd come to win the race. And then next time I looked, he's over 2 lengths clear of that one. And then obviously the word comes that he's been working well and William Muir thinks he's the best horse that he's ever trained. Needs to show that on the course, but this is the second step to doing so. And it might be that he's got a really decent horse here. I think a fast run race would suit. He did seem to kind of relish the closing stages rather than mid-race. Maybe that was because it was green and he was learning on the job. But yeah, I was really impressed by that performance. So hasn't got the form in the book, as it were. Obviously, Alfred Wallace has got that, as Johnny said, but I think he'll improve, and I think he'll beat the other two at the top of the market anyway.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's the talking horse. So before we go to a break, Harry Wilson, I just want to come to you, because we often get these kind of yard info horses that come around, you see money steam in for horses like this. Could you actually see, you know, they taught this horse up enough, we know enough's been said, but if more of that talk comes before the race, could you actually see this horse going off a little bit shorter, maybe, you know, second fav?
I was a bit surprised at the market. I know, obviously, Sergei Degaliev has come out, but I was a bit surprised that Breacher was only 4th in the market, considering he's got a better top speed figure and a better RPR than Rock Montreal and Sonic Angel. So, yeah, I would expect this horse to go off at least second favourite, if not favourite. Even if it rains as well, like he's by a cracksman who... It's quite a soft ground influence. So if the rain does come in its droves, it'll still handle the ground. I really think we're dealing with a proper horse. As Ed said, you only had to look at the way he won to think that he was going to improve for it. And this is a perfect stepping stone for him.
Yeah, really excited to see how Breach performs on Saturday. I'm with those two gents. I think Breacher will win, and Johnny Pearson with Alfred Wallace each way, where, you know, if one of the top three don't perform, then maybe he can sneak into the places. That's it for San, and we will come back to the maiden that is on the card as well towards the end of this show. But we're going to take a trip down to Goodwood shortly after this.
You're up early. Checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Yes, welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Harry Wilson, Johnny Pearson and Unibet's Ed Nicholson bringing you the action and previews for Saturday on ITV. Right, we go to Goodwood now for, well, the first race we're going to look at, which is going to be the 2 o'clock. Like I say, there are novice and maidens on the card. We'll look at them very shortly. But the first race we look at is going to be a handicap over 7 furlongs. It's a Class 2 event where Unibet have 40 years on for the George Scott's stable, Hector Crouch on board, who is a superb jockey around Goodwood. 11-4 favourite. Completely Random is 5-1. Ghost Mode 7s. Iron Will also 7s. Alto is 9-1. Pelletori's 10-1. Ross Scollin, where the rain's coming, absolutely loves it here at Goodwood. 10-1. 11-1 Addison Gray. 12-1 Darkness, another horse who I've been following for God knows how many years. 16s and bigger. The rest in this field. This looks a good race, Harry Wilson, but I know you're quite sweet on one.
Yeah, it's not really like me to back a favourite in a 15-runner field, but there is something special about 40 years on. I feel like she's 4 from 4 on turf. She's won 4 of her last 5 starts. That defeat came on the all-weather behind a horse who came out and won a competitive York handicap next time. So the form looks really good, and you only have to look at the way that she won at Newbury last time on her reappearance. She travelled through the race like she was different gear and then cleared the way, eased down the line. That form's been working out okay. The 6th and 9th come out and won, and the 3rd's gone in twice. She gave every indication that she was better than a handicapper, and I think a mark of 96 could really underestimate her.
Okay, yeah, 40 years on, like I say, Hector Crouch on board. I think he's superb around Goodwood. There are jockeys that ride Goodwood really well. He's definitely one of them in recent years. Ed Nicholson, there was a lot of nodding going on while Harry was making his selection. Whether that was in agreement or you were just kind of thinking it was a fair case, what did you make of this?
Well, I think 40 years on is the right favourite, but it's when Harry said he doesn't normally back favourites that I was nodding, and he's gone for a short price one here. But he did look really good at Newbury. He's only run once this season, and it's appropriate that we've got 40 years on in a Racing Post podcast, because it's 40 years on since the Racing Post was published on the 15th of April 1986. I feel like I've been doing podcasts ever since, but 40 years on has certainly got a chance, very good chance. But I'm going to just take a leap of faith here in a horse that, when he does win, he tends to win at a big price because he has to have everything right for him. And I know the horse quite well. I've spoken to Finlay Marsh about him as well, because he's a horse that I've backed at the past and he hasn't won, and then he goes and wins at 16-1, 10-1. He did me at Goodwood last time when he got up on the line to beat a horse. He does like Goodwood. He's won at Pontefract, but his name is Rare Change, and if he wins a race, he's going to win at big odds, because again, he's one of these horses that has poor form figures, because if he doesn't get a fast run race and gets luck in running and has to be, I think, get there late on, he comes nowhere. So his form figures are like 3-9-1-7-7, and that one was at Goodwood. He has won at Pontefract, which, when he came to my attention for the first time, I thought he might need a bit of an uphill finish, because he is a horse that kind of comes through when the pace collapses. And that seems to help horses that need to be held up when the other horses are dropping back when they're going up in the last half a furlong. But he has won at Goodwood, and he's run well at Goodwood in defeat as well. And as I say, I spoke to Finlay Marsh about him. He said he just needs a very fast pace. and luck in running. And Gina Mangan takes the ride. I'm a big fan of Gina Mangan, one of the top jockeys down the southwest in Chepstow and Bath, and she's got a good ride here. And if having luck in running at 33-1, Rare Change, who's been dropped a couple of pounds in recent runs, is back on a good mark, I think Rare Change has got a nice handicap in him, and this might well be the case. But he's either going to win or come over.
Okay, Rare Change then, 33-1 currently, four places in this race with Unibet. Definitely one for the each way market. I mentioned jockeys who ride Goodwood really well. Now a trainer, Richard Hughes, is the trainer of Rare Change. He was one that certainly knew how to ride Goodwood. Johnny Pearson, you're the one to give a final selection in this handicap.
Yeah, I would. I just want to go back to Sandown quickly. I think you've all been a bit harsh on Alfred Wallace. You're saying, oh, if the other three don't turn up, he's achieved the most today in that race. In theory, he is the one they need to be. Right, okay, you have always got the proven form, the sort of anticipation of what they might be able to achieve. But it's achieved the most. I think everyone's sort of writing him off, and actually everything else has to improve to beat him. So let's not forget that.
I have to say you're quite sweet on Alfred Wallace here, Johnny. The fact that
he is vulnerable. He is vulnerable. No, he's not a superstar, but I think you've all been a bit harsh.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, if he wins, we'll give you enough praise next time, John, and we'll all admit we're wrong.
Yeah, back to Goodwood. And there's a horse in here who 12 months ago turned up on a mark of 88 and won the race at 25-1. This year, that same horse is running in the race off a mark of 87. Yes, he's not been in great form, but he did look better when back at Goodwood last time over 8 furlongs. Dropping back to 7 in the race he won last year. Mark wins on board. Look, he's an 8-year-old. He's up against it. But Darkness looks a price to run a decent race. He always wins off around this mark when he wins. He's got to have a good chance. It's going to be Darkness. No, sir.
Darkness. I can't, honestly, this is the most interesting one, because the reason I say Darkness is a horse I follow, because I joined the Racing Post the week of the Lincoln, and it was my first ever show, it was a Racing Post Live back then, and I came into the office and they said, right, it's your first day on a big Saturday, who's your tip? And I tipped up Darkness, who had been backed from like 33s into 7s and then ended up finishing right out of the picture. And this horse is still going, and I still see this horse running, and I've been following ever since. So I do agree, Darkness does run well at Goodwood for sure, and he certainly is well handicapped. Mark went on board, so we'll just wait and see. I actually think Ross Collin will be the best of the MRA runners if the rain does come, but we'll just see. This weekend. Have you got anything else to say there?
Yeah. Sam, I have. If Johnny hasn't, I should let people know there's money back, second, third, and extra place in this race. Sorry for interrupting.
That's all right. No worries at all. Two offers in this race, then money back, second, third, and extra places in that handicap at Goodwood. Moving on then, we move on to our next race at Goodwood, which is also a handicap as well, which is a 1 mile, 4 furlong handicap, which is a class 2 event, where the market looks quite interesting here as well, with a hot favourite at the top of the market in High Degree, been well supported, 9-4 favourite now. Too Soon is 3-1. Tony Montana's 5. 1 for the Gutter is 9-1. Classical Illusion 9-1. Lord Melbourne, 1 for our producer, Bell, 10-1. Green Sky, 12-1. Rathgar's 14s. And Haku is 16-1. To you first, Johnny Pearson. I mentioned that we've got a few short price or shortish prices in these handicap. High Degree for William Haggis and Kieran Fallon. What do we make of this one?
Oh, I'm not sure Bell's going to appreciate that, given she's from Sydney and not Melbourne. But
I've just had that message come through on chat. So it's just an Aussie reference.
I thought this looked quite a tricky handicap. I mean, the favourite's certainly a short enough price here, and not one I necessarily want to be diving into. I actually think, you know, Lord Melbourne and Rathgar have been a little bit disappointing of late, but Rathgar looked very good earlier in the season, but I think he's still a bit vulnerable for his current mark, and he was too disappointing last time. I think Too Soon for Gary Moore is probably the bet here. He's won last time at Epsom, which sometimes the form translates, sometimes it doesn't. His horses are running pretty well. It wouldn't be a strong play, but I think he's going to run a good race, and Too Soon, I think, is going to be there or thereabouts at the finish.
Yeah, Too Soon for Gary and Josh Moore, a stable that like to have runners, especially at Goodwood, being one of their local courses. Harry Wilson, how did you look at this race?
Yeah, this was the most difficult race, I thought, on ITV. So I'm really annoyed because the horse I backed Anti Post isn't turning up. That's Ashnak for David O'Mara.
Oh, yeah.
just one to put in the tracker, I'd say he will win. But anyway, I think second choice for me was Tony Montana. I thought he ran really well at Goodwood last time behind Al Ahly. Toby Moore was on that day. Wide draw, he had to drop in at the back and he just stayed on for fourth. Hasn't really got a lot of form over a mile and a half. That was a mile and a quarter that day. But he's just looked the last couple of times like a mile and a half would suit. With form at Goodwood, he's on a pretty good mark. I thought I'd take a chance on him with Clifford Lee taking over in the saddle.
Okay, Tony Montana then. Yeah, the one for Harry Wilson wouldn't be a strong selection. As Harry mentioned, the horse that he was hoping to turn up here hasn't, but one for the tracker was Afnac. I think that was the name. Was it right, Harry? Just give me a nod. But yeah, that's fine.
Afnac, mate.
Afnac, sorry, there you go. I've got the pronunciation. I was waiting for you to unmute your mic, but there you go, Afnac. I can see Ed Nicholson, those who are watching online, see him writing down the name of Afnac now. Ed, who's your selection here?
I agree with Harry. I found it's the most difficult race on ITV, apart from the maidens, etc. But I didn't really have a strong opinion. I went down on the favourite High Degree. I think a mile and a half will suit. Cheap Pieces seemed to do the trick last time. Trainers in good form. But it's a difficult race. But High Degree would be my selection, but I won't be having a bet on it myself.
Okay, no, that's very fair. Yeah, like I say on this podcast all the time, you don't have a bet in every race, say for gambling, the MO here at the Racing Post and with Unibet. So yeah, there's plenty of racing to get stuck into. You don't have to have a bet in every race. Now the feature at Goodwood comes at 3:10, which is the Celebration Mile Stakes, obviously over a mile. It's a Group 2 contest where currently Zavateri is your favourite, being turned out quite quickly here from the City of York Stakes. 2-1 favourite for the Eve Johnson Horton Yard. Charles Bishop's on board. Seagulls 11, 130. Boiling Point is 4-1. Kirat 9-2. Nakib 10-1. EBT's Guard already had a mention from Harry Wilson with regards to working all over Breach 18-2, or Breach working all over him, 18-1. Pina Sonata 20-1. Fast Trackers 25s. And Arisei, who absolutely loves Goodwood, is 25-1. Johnny Pearson, this market has all changed since the favourites come out. I think, you know, the two Aidan O'Brien horses came out. It really has changed, and the market's now shaped up with Zavateri, like I say, after a quick turnout.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be backing Zavateri. He's ran all right a few times, but he's not looked the horse he potentially might be when he was a two-year-old, and he's still got a bit to prove for me for all he can run a good race. Fast Tracker is actually an interesting runner. He had some good form a couple of years ago, and then obviously something went wrong, and I doubt he'll end up back at the same level he was, where he's sort of not too far off Bodmin's, but whatever he's called, back in 2024. The one from Nakib's got good form at Goodwood. There's a few with good course form. Kirat, obviously. But I think Boiling Point's the one to beat. That form behind Salau at Sandown in July, I think, is rock solid. The Hugo Palmer horse has gone and won a grade one in America now. Wasn't beaten, you know, beaten a neck at Goodwood last time. I think the drop to trip shouldn't, the drop in trip even shouldn't be an issue to him here. I can see him running a huge race. Nice two list, good price. Carl Burke forms is typically good, as it normally is for him. And I think Boiling Point is a solid bet.
Yeah, Boiling Point for Johnny Pearson. Harry, looking at this race, I mean, again, during the week, we were analysing this and like, God, what's going to turn up? How could this market end up looking come Saturday? We haven't actually mentioned really the weather. We don't know how much rain, there is rain scheduled to come over the next few days. How much rain Goodwood will actually get is going to affect plenty, but it probably hasn't turned out to be the race that we were, you know, everyone or viewers would be hoping to see come Saturday. It's not the strongest renewal of the Celebration Mile, but you've obviously got to try and find the winner, and who's that going to be?
Yeah, it probably turned into a more difficult race with the likes of Distant Storm and Cheyenne, who obviously beat Talk of New York at Goodwood. They didn't come, nor does the Aidan O'Brien pair. You know, this is sort of like, how many front runners can you fit in one race? Like, I've never seen so many front runners line up in a race. Seagulls 11, Boiling Point, Kirat, Nakib, Pina Sonata, they all like to go forward.
They're going to pace make for nothing, are they, Harry? Is that what's
going on? Yeah, like, it's a lot of pace. Like, no one needs to pay an Aidan O'Brien Group 1 winner to make the pace here. But anyway, yeah, I can see the race setting up for Zavateri. Or at a bigger price, Arisei, who I'm a massive fan of. Obviously, she ran close third in this race last year behind John Quill. Her best form this season was finishing fourth behind Blue Bolt at Goodwood off a slowly run race. If there is enough pace there, I can see Zavateri and Arasegh fighting out the finish. I think Johnny's been a bit harsh on Zavateri. I thought he shaped really well on his return behind Al Parson. Looked like he needed a mile. He had a minor setback. He was always going to come on for that run in the Sussex, where he was denied a clear run anyway and then made up good ground before just tiring. And a quick seven at York is just never going to suit. A mile at Goodwood should be perfect for him. And if he gets the pace to aim at, which looks likely on paper, I think he is the one to beat. But I will be having a bit each way on Arasegh.
Okay, fine. This is an interesting one. Who's going to hit the front first is going to be the guess here. Ed Nicholson. Like Harry said, just been a bit harsh on Zavateri, has Johnny Pearson. I believe this is your fancy.
Yes, he was the only horse that didn't perform for me, really, at the York meet. He had a third, a second, two winners, and this fella was my number one and didn't perform. But as Harry said, it did seem to be a little, even though it's good to soft ground, it did seem to be just a little bit quick for him, and he was running on, and Charlie Bishop sort of was looking after him, I thought, as well, and didn't, you know, bash into him. Surprised of coming 7 days later. It's not kind of a thing you normally get with top class horses. That was a Group One, especially as he had 102 days off between his first and his second run, which was a good run. So I disagree with Johnny. I think that fifth in the Sussex Stakes was actually, well, I thought it was a good run. And given that it was his first run coming from injury, I think it was a very good run in at what was probably a very good Sussex Stakes. He was disappointing last time, but as Harry's mentioned, the seven furlongs is just a bit too quick. He likes the course. He's won on the course. You know, I don't know who's going to front run. I don't know who's going to get to the front first, but I think Zavaretti's going to get to the post first, because I think Zavaretti will win. The fast pace will suit him. Charlie Bishop will be able to cover him up and come with a late run. He's won on yielding. It will be interesting if the rain does come, because you more than anyone, Sam, knows what it gets like with a rain there. It just changes completely. So there'll be a few horses that won't go in kind of a little bit softer ground. Look, if he doesn't win this race or doesn't get close, I think then Johnny's got a point about his two-year-old and three-year-olds. But on what I've seen so far, I don't say you can't say he hasn't trained on. At home, I understand that he's going really well. I just think he wins. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win this. I think he's a Group One horse. He's got everything in his favour. So if he doesn't win this, then I'll reassess. But I think I expect Zavateri to win.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a good show for Johnny Pearson, isn't it? If Zavateri's out the frame and Alfred Wallace wins this Saturday, he's going to really enjoy with his smug face coming on the next postcast he arrives on. So we'll just wait and see what happens. Gents, like I mentioned at the start, there are other races on ITV which are more difficult to preview because we don't know a lot about them. We've got the 3:45 at Goodwood, which is a maiden filly stakes. You've got the 1:25 at Goodwood, which is a restricted novice stakes. And at Sandown, you've also got a maiden filly stakes at 1:40 there. I'm just going to come around the room and just see if there were any horses in those that caught the eye or potentially one that you're looking forward to seeing on Saturday. Ed, I'm just going to start with you if that's all right. Is there one of those races that you had a brief look at?
Yeah, I wasn't really a big fan of any of the races, really. But the horse that I put down to note for future race was Lily Pink. When she came second at Newmarket on her debut, obviously the Johnston horses, 2-year-olds, always come on, and if they send them to Newmarket first time out, they're normally quite good. And Lily Pink, I didn't know what the betting was when I put her up. She's 7-4 favourite, so everybody knows what I know, so I'm not telling anybody differently. But yeah, Lily Pink's the horse that I'll be looking for in the 1:25 at Goodwood this time, another course that obviously the Johnstons like to have winners at.
Okay, yeah, Lily Pink then. Yeah, that's the 1:40 at Goodwood on... Sorry, 1:25, sorry, at Goodwood on Saturday. Yeah, currently 7-4 favourite for the Johnston Yard. Harry Wilson, for you, was there any horses at the weekend in those three races that caught your eye?
Yeah, there's one who... I had a quick look at the market before we came on, and I'm really surprised she's not favourite. And that's Tall Trees in the opening race at Sandown. She's got some brilliant form. She was a big eye catcher behind Libertango in the Albany, staying on into eighth. And she's run really well over seven the last twice, including over course and distance behind Aperol, who I think is going to be a really good horse. Just didn't get the breaks that day, but she shaped really well. So I think Tall Trees in the opening maiden or novice at Sandown is the wrong price. And the other one who I'm quite looking forward to seeing is a horse called Evening Call, who runs in the 3:45 at Goodwood. She actually came last on her debut, but that was only three runners and she was only beaten two lengths behind one who had experience. She looked like she'd stay further that day, and I just really like the look of her pedigree. She's by Wootton Bassett out of a mare who won a listed race and is by See the Moon. So lots of stamina in the pedigree. She's stepping up from a mile to a mile and a quarter, and Haggis's horses tend to need their first run anyway. So she should take a big step forward and she could take some beating.
Okay, yeah, that's Evening Call, one to watch then, the 3:45 at Goodwood, and then in the 1:40 at Sandown Tall Trees was another one for Harry Wilson. And Johnny Pearson, were any of the three races that you had a look at?
Yeah, the 125 the 1:40 at Sandown, even. It was, you know, sort of in agreement with Harry. Tall Trees, along with the Gosden horse, have probably got sort of similar level of form. And the Gosden horse has only had one run and tends to open to more improvement. But as I said earlier, I wouldn't want to be backing a Gosden horse at the minute, and I'd be a bit concerned about that. There are also a number of horses in there which are fairly well bred and could be, you know, we don't know what to make of them. Obviously, the Appleby horse is a short enough price. Boarding horse could be good, and his horses have been doing really well, as we saw at York. So it's definitely a race I'll be keeping an eye on, seeing how those fillies get on.
Okay, yeah, there's just a few to look out for in those maiden novice races on the ITV card. I think we'll probably be doing that on this podcast more often, is kind of seeing if there are any sort of horses that catch the eye in those races, if they are showcased on ITV, maybe some for the tracker as well. Do let us know who your best bet is this weekend down in the comments. And if you haven't, like I say, already subscribed to the channel and give this podcast a like. Right, we're going to take a short break and then we'll have our best bets for the weekend.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back then to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. We have Unibet's Ed Nicholson, Johnny Pearson, Harry Wilson from the Racing Post, and your host today is myself, Sam Hart. And we are now going to get our best bets, gentlemen, for this upcoming weekend. So, Mr. Wilson, I'll start with you. Who is the best bet this weekend?
Best bet anywhere is 40 years on in a 2 o'clock at Goodwood. She's unbeaten on turf, looked different gear while winning a Newbury last time, and could well be a group horse in a handicap.
Yeah, 40 years on. I agree with that one. I'm looking forward to being there to see 40 years on this weekend. Ed Nixon, your best bet, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Zavatteri. Only 7 days after not winning at York, takes a drop down in class. I think has got the class edge, likes the course, has won there before. I think if Zavatteri doesn't win this, then we can start thinking that maybe he's not the horse that he once was. But I think he's got everything in his favour, and I'd be very surprised if Zavatteri doesn't win the 3:10 at Goodwood on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, Zavatteri in the Celebration Mile then for Ed Nicholson. Yeah, popular horse that was talked about a lot ahead of the York Festival, but coming back to Goodwood here over a mile for Ed. I'm going to go with Breacher in the Solario Stakes. Plenty said on this week's show with regards to Breacher, but we've heard enough from William Muir with regards to how good he thinks this horse could be. The RPR of 97, it was visually so impressive on debut. I think there's a little bit of value still stuck on that 4-1 about Breacher in the Solario. And Johnny Pearson, you're going to finish us off this week.
Yeah, I was tempted to change my mind and go against you directly. But no, we're going to stick with the Atalanta Stakes, and we're going with Moon Target. Group 1 performer dropping down to a Group 3. She should have too much for the rest of them here, and she can win.
There you go. There are our best bets on the screen there for this week. Can you take a screenshot, take a note of who we've picked, and hopefully we will have plenty of winners this weekend. That's it for this week's Racing Postcast. Big thanks to my panel, Harry Wilson, Johnny Pearson, and Unibet's Ed Nixon. Really looking forward to Johnny Pearson coming back on in a few weeks' time and either looking really smug or disappointed with how he talks about some of the horses this week. So we'll just wait and see. We're coming towards the end of the flat season. We're slowly getting there. The last of the big festivals is kind of done with regards to the York Ebor Festival. We have still got the St. Ledger Festival coming up. Then we've got the Arc. Then we've got Champions Day and then the Breeders' Cup. And then the national hunt season really starts to kick in. Looking forward to previewing some of that Saturday action here on the Racing Postcast. There's still plenty more to come leading up to the back end of the year here on the Racing Postcast. Big thanks to the guys. Big thanks to you for watching or listening. We'll join you again for another Racing Postcast next Thursday at 7 p.m.